Now, this is a message you're going to hear this morning that the Word of Faith people get a lot of flack over. So I thought I'd just lean into it a little bit. Hallelujah. Because it's the truth. You guys ready to receive the truth? The truth. What does the truth do to people? It changes them. It sets them free. The truth sets you free. So you're going to get free this morning. Hallelujah. Free from the bondage of corruption. Free from bondage, right? That's what you get free from. People got chains on them. Chains on their mind. Chains on their money. Chains on them. Our job is to get the chains off them. We loose them into the things of God, correct? What do you do with your words of your mouth? We loose the things from heaven onto earth. I get excited about this. I think this is good news. No wonder Jesus called it the good news. He wasn't lying. He was telling you the truth, and he set people free by the truth. So this is the truth, and it's going to set you free where you haven't been free before because there's been religious bondage there. That's why there's such an attack against this type of a message. Partaking of God's nature. Yes. Who's that make you like then? You're like God. That doesn't make you God. Some people get a little carried away with it. They end up in the loony houses. And that doesn't make them God, but they become like God, children of God, right? I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you have kids, what do they come out like? Monkeys? Chickens? Well, lovely, you gave birth to another chicken. Do it around Thanksgiving time. No, you give birth to things that are looked like a lot like you. There's a resemblance there, isn't there? And they grow up and they act like you. They talk like you. We hope, right? Eventually. Because they came out of you. So if God gives birth to something, what's it going to be like? It's going to be like him. And would you call your child anything less than what you are? Sharon and I are humans, but our daughter, we don't know what she is. No, she's a human too. She's like us. She's on the same level. She may be younger right now and under our authority in certain things, but she grows up. I've noticed this over the years. They tend to grow up. And they have thoughts of their own. And they have words of their own. If your kids ever come up with a word of their own, you're like, I didn't say that. They said it. They thought about something and they said something. I want my room army green. Where'd that come from? They had a mind of their own. They had a will. Was it outside of the will of you to have their? Well, maybe it is. As long as they're in your house, army green might be hard to paint over. But they do. They start to say things, you understand. They become their own person. But they're still like you. All right. So we're going to be on the same page here. You're going to get set free and changed from things that might have been holding you in bondage for years. Because guess what we've got to do? We've got to lift the level of the body of Christ up higher. It's been too low. It's been religious for too long. And we've been in bondage to these things, not knowing who we are. We're children of God. The earth is waiting for us to be manifest as children of God. The earth's waiting there. Waiting. So go hug a tree. In that context. It's waiting for you to hug it. And then cut it down. Use it for something. Oh, hallelujah. You people here? This gets good. Glory be to God forever. You're one of those tree-hugging churches. Yes, amen. Got to make the seats out of something. Mark chapter 4. You guys all right with going to the Bible this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You use that in your church? Don't get me started. I heard somebody, and I won't mention the name, but they'd been in the ministry for 30-some years, and now he considers himself more of a mystic than anything else. I'm a mystic. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Somebody should slap this person. Nationwide programming. He's a mystic. I'm going to go hug a tree and let it land over your way, buddy. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Mark chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy, precious, written word. We receive your word this morning as your word speaking to us. We are changed by it. We receive it and are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4 and verse 41. Hallelujah. This is right where Jesus had calmed the sea and the wind. Remember, they were in the boat and they were like, we're going to die. It's out of the waves. The wind. Help us. Jesus stood up in the back and rebuked the wind and the sea, and it all became calm, and they were greatly afeared. Hallelujah. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner? Would this freak people out today? Would it? You stand up on the roof and there's a storm coming and you shout at it and tell it to go the other way. People back off from you. They go, what manner of man is this? Do you think Jesus had a problem with this? Obviously not. He didn't have a problem standing up when everybody else sat down. He didn't have a problem being in faith when everybody else was in fear. He stood up. What manner of man was he? Do you think he knew who he was? This is the problem with the church. They don't know who they are. And so they act a different way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How can you act the way you're supposed to act unless you know who you are? And then when you know who you are, you act a certain way, don't you? Church doesn't know who they are. Well, you're going to know who you are this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you. Jesus is Lord. What manner of man is this? You guys all right with this? Mark 11. Hallelujah. We just preached on this quite a bit there. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, or have the faith of God. What kind of person can have the faith of God? Children of God have the faith of God. He's telling people to do this. Have this God kind of faith. One of the reasons they couldn't do it is because they didn't know who they were. They perceived this as being something way outside of the realm of their possibility, that they could talk to the wind and the waves. Did you see that in the first verse we read? They were like, wait a minute, what kind of man is this? What class of being? And they started seeing it, he must be the Son of God. Oh. What kind of place do you put that? The Son of God. And we all, please, I am not criticizing this. The stature of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by any means. But if you put that way up on, he's the firstborn among many brethren. He came down to be on your level so he could lift you up to his level. If they knew who they were, they would have stood up in the back of the boat and calmed the sea. He said, why don't you have any faith? This is why they don't, because they didn't know who they were. They didn't know they could. They'd been using their words for a garbage can. And their mouth for a garbage can. And their spouse's ear for a garbage can. Instead of acting like who they were. When you begin to see who you are, then you know that those words you speak have to obey you. Because you're now a daughter of God. You're now a son of God. And how is God? He said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Act the way, speak the way God does. Why? Because you are like him. You're born of him. You starting to get this? This is why your words have effect. Because you're created in his image. I wasn't able to go there this week, but back in when the Bible says that God made man in his image and after his likeness, he created them, it says he made them a speaking spirit. He made them just like himself. How was God? God was a speaking spirit, wasn't he? He spoke and it was. Light be and it was. He made you the same way. You're in the same class of being, and this is what people have a problem with. I'm in the same class as God? Yeah. Like I said, when he gives birth, what's he give birth to? Pigeons? Circus creatures? Same class, same people. And so, right, you can see already, you know, why people have a problem with this. You mean I'm like God? You mean I am a God, small g? You people hear it, because I'm gonna jump all over this thing. So if you're having a problem now, get ready. Like a chicken on a bug. That's what chickens do. They see a bug and they see something moving in the ground, they start to jump on it until it stops moving, and then they peck at it and eat it. Glory be to God. Psalms 82:6. You ready for this ride, people? Get your mind and put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on your mind. Psalms chapter 82 and verse 6. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. Is this in your Bible? Brother, it wasn't in my Bible until this morning, until you pointed out. That's right. And that's where it doesn't exist in most people's Bible, but it's there, is it?
Yes.
If you don't like it, rip it out. But it's there. I have said, everybody read this out loud. You got this? Glory be to God. I have said, say it out loud. I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, if you're children of the Most High, what does that make you? Like him. You are like God. Why can you stand up in the back of the boat and yell at the wind and the sea and expect it to obey you? Because you're like him. You're created like him. You're children of the Most High God. Well, how are you going to act now? We have a lot of children of God acting like the devil. They do the things the devil does. They say the words the devil does. They're not acting like the right kind of kids. They need some discipline. Some preachers will come up and spank them repeatedly, publicly. We should invite all the other churches to come over here and we'll spank them. Or anybody in this church. I don't like going to church and getting spanked. Well, tough. You're unruly and undisciplined, and you're not acting the way, and you're not acting the way you're supposed to act. How are children of God supposed to act like? Are they supposed to imitate him? Well, you just are trying to act like God. That's the point. What church have you been going to where you're not supposed to be acting like God? You are. He's your father. Brother, you're twisting my head. I know. All right, go to Romans 8:14. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. I don't think I wrote that reference down, but remember when they were coming up to Jesus and they said, you know, you make yourself God. You make yourself God. We're not going to stone you because of the great works you did, but because you call yourself that he's your father, he said, this is my father. You're making yourself like God. They were going to stone him. Who was going to stone him? The religious people wanted to stone this and get this message out of the church. We want to keep God way far away. Not you coming and showing up and saying hi. God's my father. Is God your father?
Yes.
Hallelujah. If he's not, he can be. Today, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. You can change fathers. Hallelujah. Did I tell you to turn to Romans? Romans 8. Glory be to God forever. Let me put this in you people this morning. You know I can do that? How did Jesus put things in people? With words. And if I follow the Holy Ghost, which is supposed to be my job, I can put things in you by the Holy Ghost, words, where you'll be changed. How many of you have been changed since you've been here? It's not my own special devices that does this. It's the Word of God. He can change you. I get changed. Hallelujah. Brother, you're just lifting yourself up. You're just making yourself like God. Yeah, and you too. Hallelujah. You're going to be like God too. You don't go to that church where they think they're like God, do you? What other church is there? This is the real church. And I'm not saying that other people don't preach this and don't believe it, okay? I'm not saying that. But in general, and we all know this, in the general body of Christ, this is a rejected thing. Even in some Word of Faith churches, this kind of stuff is rejected because it's too big to wrap your head around, isn't it? You get born again, you're born into His kingdom, you become His child. And when you start walking like that, guess what happens? You start acting like God. And people don't like it, especially the religious people. They're like, oh, sit down. Stop that. Like, no, hallelujah. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Look at that. Heirs of God, joint heir. Do you know what a joint heir is? You die and you leave your estate to the joint heirs, meaning and you can divide it up equally amongst them. With who? Joint heirs with who? Bubba across the street. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, your brother.
Hallelujah.
Joint heirs in the same, are you starting to see this? You're in the same class as Jesus. Now, get your stones and start throwing them. This is what they hated. This is what, here it is. I brought some, brother. It's actually a day-old bagel, but it'll feel like a stone. Joint heir with Christ. What can a joint heir with Christ do? What can Christ do? What can the Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, not much. No, he can do anything. He's God. Do you understand? We could explode right now if we really got a hold of these things that God has given us. And I've said this so many times, it's almost too good to be true. This is why people reject it, because if they can just reject it, then they don't have to deal with it. That's what they do with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, let's just say they all passed away, then we don't have to deal with them. They died with the last apostle, didn't they? No, they didn't. Deal with it. It's the same thing here. Deal with it. This is in your Bible. You have to deal with this. You are a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Daughters, children of God, joint heirs with Christ. How are you going to live your life? A lot better than I was before. If this is true, am I reading this from the Bible? If this is true, you're going to live a lot differently and a lot better than you ever have before. And we can all come up in this, and we're going to. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Go to John 10. Actually, I think I did write this down. Glory be to God forever. John chapter 10, verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For what? For a good work we stone thee not." I like how they're having this conversation with him. "For a good work we stone thee not, but thou shalt be stoned because of this." And I think they were using the English accent because it just makes it more funny for some reason. Brother, get serious. I am serious. Glory be to God. But if, where was I? 33. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy." Everybody say blasphemy. You just said blasphemy. Alan just said blasphemy. You did too. You people here. Hallelujah. "But for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Why did he do it? How did he do it? Let's read here. "Thou makest thyself God." Verse 34. "Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If you then call them gods unto the whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, you say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God?'" They knew this. They caught, when he said, "I'm the Son of God," they got upset because they said he was God. Do you see this? They were looking for an opportunity to stone him anyway, so when he said, "I am the Son of God," they knew what that meant, that he was God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus is Lord. And then they wanted to stone him. So don't be surprised if people want to stone you when you start going around saying, "I'm a son of God," and really meaning it. You know, we have this language in the church where it doesn't mean anything anymore. Yes, I'm a son of God. Let's sing that song we all love. And it doesn't mean anything. No, you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Factual. And when you start seeing yourself that way, you'll begin to act the way you are supposed to act in the earth. And the earth is groaning and travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not of something else. What is it waiting for? Something else, brother. No, it's waiting for the manifestation of the children of God, the sons of God. To do what? No! To start acting like the children of God. To start taking dominion in the earth where they're supposed to be. To really hug a tree. You people getting this? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. All right, go with me over to John 1. They said, "You maketh thyself..." And this is the perversion of that. Remember? They just said, "You make yourself God." By calling yourself a son of God, you make yourself God. Who made him? Who made Jesus? We aren't making ourselves something. We aren't lifting ourselves up going, "Oh, we're sons of God." No, he did this. He made you this way. So it's a disservice to him if you don't live this way. He made you a certain way. Now you're going to go live like a worm. And so you got to have questions answered in your head. Well, what are the children of God supposed to live like? Well, like God. And that's where your head starts to go, wait. It starts to get bigger and expanding and expands to the point where you actually begin to live that way. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. John chapter 1. It's right in the beginning of John. Verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You were born of the will of God. This is God's will, to have sons and daughters. Not sheep, not goats, not chickens. He wants sons of daughters. And what does he want them to grow up like? Like him. as many as received him. So how many can this happen to? It's up to us as to whether we receive him. If we receive him, we can become. And most of us have been down this road. We can become this. Why? Because we receive him. And then we're born of God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. As many as received him, he gave them power to become. All right. Go to John 3. 3. Thank you, Holy Ghost. John 3, 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You read this? Does everybody see this? Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does this of necessity mean? Anybody who is seeing the kingdom of God, anybody who sees into the kingdom of God, is what? Born again. There's nobody in the kingdom of God that isn't a son and a daughter of God. They're all his children. And by knowing this, this should be the first thing that we know. And why isn't it? We're not taught it. We're taught something else. Yes, you give your heart to the Lord and he saves you from your sins. Yes, he does. But there's more to it. You're born into something. The kingdom of God is a son and a daughter. And now what do you have? No rights. No rights, no privileges. You have all rights and privileges, joint rights, joint privileges with Jesus. What does this do? It sets your faith free, brother. Neighbor kids just can't come into the house and eat something out of the refrigerator. But your kids can. Right? And they do. So what's being held back? Do you see this? What is being held back from the people of God in the kingdom of heaven? Nothing. It's theirs. It's their inheritance. And we stand at the door and look at it and go, I. And I think about prosperity on this, and this is something where I need, you know, I'm coming up into preaching this a different way. Because I see so many people, and I understand that the laws of prosperity is sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. We understand this, and the tithe and the covenant. But you know what? It is your God-given right to live in all that God has for you. By what? By sonship, heirship. Is this qualified by your giving and receiving? No, these things work. But it's because you're a daughter of God. It's because you're a son of God. It's because of these things belong to you. How are you supposed to act? How are you supposed to live? In lack, in sickness. No, all the kingdom's wide open. Somebody just tore the door off the hinges. There are no doors on the cupboards anymore. Just go in and get what you want.
Well, don't I have to do something different?
No, it's your right. It's your privilege. It's who you are. You are treated now a different way. You're treated a different way. Do you sin? Well, so what? You get disciplined, but it doesn't take away your sonship. No. Sinners sin because they're not children of God yet. They haven't been born again. But once they're born again, they're under a different law. Isn't this good news?
Yeah.
Because I know none of you have ever sinned since you got saved. Never sinned since they... But you're treated differently. Right? Your kid goes out, he does something bad, he, you know, chops down the cherry tree. What do you do to him? You execute him in the front yard. In front of all the neighborhoods to show him what... No! You go into the house and you give them a stiff reprimanding or something, but... It takes on a different thing, right? Neighbors come across, cut down your cherry tree. It's Sioux time. they're different. They're different. You treat them differently. Now, I'm not telling you to sue anybody, but you understand. You have to qualify these things and go, yeah, anybody in the world, I'm suing them. Just for looking at me wrong. No. I'm talking about the way God deals with his children. He deals with you differently. When do you get your inheritance? Isn't it after somebody dies? Say your dad dies. Get the inheritance. Right? Well, do we have someone that has already died? We're waiting to get to heaven to receive our inheritance. No. When do you get your inheritance? When the death of the testator, the one who had... Yes. Do you understand?
Yes.
This is the good news. I'm going to come up with a new covenant, and I'm going to, you know, this is what people do with big insurance policies. They go, you know, I can't make it on my own. I want my family to prosper, so I'll take out this big, giant insurance policy, and then I'll kill myself, and then they'll be all... You've heard of this, right? There's movies about this. And I'm not saying to do this either. But that's what Jesus did. He came up with this great covenant and all these great prosperity, blessings, and healing, and all these other things. He paid the price and he died to seal it. Now you can walk in it. Now. Everybody say now.
Now. Praise God. Thank you.
And then he was raised from the dead to make sure that it comes to pass. Make sure he deals it out the right way. Gave gifts to men and women. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. You must be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. Brother, why do you keep saying it? I don't know. But you must be born again. And once you're born again, you're in. Is it hard to get born again?
No.
To as many as received him gave that he the power to become the sons of God. So you had the power. You just have to receive him. Him what? The death that he paid for you. What if you don't receive? Then you don't get the blessing. Be like people, well, grandma died, but I don't receive it. I don't receive it. Well, here's your check. They're in the inheritance. No, she's not dead. That's stupid. Acknowledge that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for you, was buried, and rose again for you. That's receiving him for you. Now, are we just going to lay this aside and say, well, it doesn't do anything to me? No, it does everything to you. It makes you a son of God. It makes you a daughter of God.
Hallelujah.
This is good stuff. Hallelujah. Child of God. Daughter of God, son of God. Let's just run down the hallways. I saw myself doing that earlier. Now just run down the hallway. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a what?
New
creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Verse 18, and all things are of
God.
Hallelujah. Any person be in Christ, right? In Christ, that means you've received the Lord Jesus. Now in Christ, all things have become new. All the old things pass away. Is this good news?
Yes.
This is great news.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Old things gone.
Shoo!
New things, all the new things. All things are new, but wait, hey, hold on. And all things what? Are of God. So there's not anything new in you that isn't of God. How far can you run with this?
All the way,
that's right. All the way to the end zone. The field goal. Or whatever it is. Yeah, field goal. No. Yeah, end zone. Brother. Tell much time I watch football, huh? I'm out there trying to hit him with a stick. Wait, that's baseball. It works, though. Knocks them right out. And they're like, you're out. And then there were eight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All things are what? New, and all things are of God. What's God like? He's pretty bad, isn't he? Bad in the good sense. He's bad. He's the baddest thing there is. He is God, and you are his son. You're his daughter. You're the baddest thing that's ever been. The world thinks they're bad. No. What manner of man are you? What manner of woman are you? Child of the living God. Someone try to accuse you, the accuser of the brethren. Try to come up and say something about, I don't think so. You're talking to the wrong one. We'll talk to my dad. He'll put some whoop out on you. Big can of whoop. See, but you can talk like this when you know who you are, and this is what I'm trying to get across to you. It's free. You come in, it's offered free, and this is why it seems so ridiculously good, and this is why people have a hard time grabbing onto it, that God actually wants sons and daughters. He doesn't want servants. He doesn't want people that are just, you know, slaves. And we have the slave mentality. Oh, I don't want to give my life to Jesus because then I'll be a slave, you know, Lord. The Lord. Well, lords have slaves or whatever. That's their mentality, but it goes way beyond this. You become a child of the living God. All things are possible to you. How are you going to live your life? Well-pleasing to the Father. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. All things are of God. What about the other things? What about things in my life that aren't right? What about, you know, my thoughts and stuff? Those things are residues from the past. This is why we're commanded to renew our mind and consecrate our body. To what? It's like I said before, to the magnetic, so that your poles are changed. And pretty soon you don't even think about things that you used to think about. Is this true? I don't even think about certain sins or stuff that I used to think about. Is this important? How do you see yourself? See, the problem is people are seeing themselves as sinners, saved by grace, when they're not. They're not sinners anymore. The sin is gone. So you're a sinner. All things have become new. All things are of God. Then God must be sin. No, all things in you that are recreated are of God. There's no sin in there. You're no longer a sinner. You are a child of God. And when you start to see this, sin won't have any hold on you because you don't sin anymore. You don't sin? No. Why would I? I'm a child of God. Children of God don't sin. Brother, you don't sin? No. If I do, I confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive me. He treats me differently than the world because I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a child of God. If I do sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness or all wrongness, and I retain my position as a son of God. Do you see why you can go boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need? You just walk in there, and he knows you by name because you're in the kingdom. Jesus is Lord. And God goes, who? No, he knows all his children. He knows you, Jane. He knows you. Hallelujah. He knows your voice. Ain't God stupid? He has these children, you know, and I've seen, you know, some of those women who've had like 25 kids or whatever. Like, how do they keep them apart? They know. They know. You get to know them, don't you? Why they name them all with the same first initial, I don't understand that. Just makes it more confusing. Jethro and Jared and Jimbo and... right? He says he's going to give you a new name. He knows that name. He knows you. He knows your voice. We talk about, we understand the other side of this. My sheep hear my voice. Right? He knows your voice. You're his child. Let him hear it more often. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God. I know this is a little different. 1 Peter. But this is important for you to see this. It is important for you to be in the family of God. It's important for you to know these things. These are your rights and privileges. Otherwise, if you don't know this, you're not going to behave the right way. Right? You're going to behave like the world. You're going to behave like some outside family instead of the way this family behaves. I hope you're getting something out of this. Jesus is Lord. I believe you are. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You're born of incorruptible seed by the word of God. How far do you want to go with this? How much of the word do you want to receive? It's incorruptible seed. Born again. Born of God. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. I'll try to end with this. Jesus is Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power. Now remember, he said, to as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Right? Power. Not just an idea. He gave them power to actually have it come to pass. How many have ever actually had this come to pass? It's a powerful thing. Change your life. According as his divine power. What kind of power? Divine. Divine power. Do you know what divine means? It's God's power. So he's using his power to create in you something new. Everybody say, I am recreated by the divine power of God. Well, no wonder all things are of God. He didn't use something else. He didn't use some Play-Doh and some DW-40 and a couple wires. Although it sounds like fun. He used his divine power to create in you something that's what? Divine. It's divine. It's incorruptible. If something's incorruptible, it's divine, brother. I got to get you up to a level where you see who you really are. You are a divine personality. Oh, you are divine. No, not like that. You're divine. By the divine power of God, Julia, you're a divine personality. You're never going to die. You're always in the kingdom of God. Everything in you is of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Divine. Am I getting this across? Yes. I got to come back there. Hallelujah. I thought I was just a sinner saved by grace. That's the problem. That's why you can't receive the things of God. Because you think you're still a sinner. Divine power. Divine creation in you. There is no sin. It's when you heighten the level of perception of who you really are that sin no longer has dominion over you. Sickness. How much sickness can stay on Jesus, the divine person?
None.
Why? Because he's a divine person. Sickness, get off of me. Poverty, flee. Why? Because I operate in the divine. You just think you're like God. Amen. He made me this way. He made you this way. You're no longer normal, natural guy. Hello, I'm natural guy. No, you're supernatural. You're Jacques the Divine. Patrick the Divine. We need some pointy hats or something. Oh, you just make yourself the son of God. I didn't do it. God did it. He said by his divine power, if I receive him, he's going to make me a son of God. You're divine. No wonder God says you better walk in love with your brethren. Who are you walking in love with? The divine. Yes. Glory be to you. You're starting to get this. Hallelujah. I'll shake it up on the inside of you for a bit. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over the divine people that are you and me. Glory be to God forever. Paul said, I don't see any man after the flesh anymore. You don't see him after the flesh. You don't see their things that they may have done wrong or doing wrong now. Doesn't matter. That's not what you're seeing. You're seeing the divine in them. Am I using the word divine too much? Tough! Divine, 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 divine. Everything, did I show you enough scripture? What's created in you? Everything is of God. What is God? He's divine. Everything in you is divine. Do you understand? No wonder the things of the world don't bother you anymore. It's corruption. Ooh, you should hum as you come into a room. Ooh, hello. Why are you talking that way? Because I'm divine. God made me his child. Hallelujah. Ha. Is that your cell phone going off? No, that's me. Ooh, I'm divine.
Praise God.
Flu season, what? I don't think so. Divine people don't partake in that. We're partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. I got to read my scripture here. According as his divine power has given unto us 2.5 things. No, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things through this divine nature. All things that pertain to life. Are you missing a few things? Or do we miss a few things? Then we're not walking in the divine nature because the divine nature doesn't miss a few things. Go up to heaven, God's up there, his shoe's untied. You're like, God, you forgot to tie your shoe. He goes, I missed a few things. Not going to miss anything. This is what, and we can get into the gifts of the Spirit. All of these things have been given to us to know. Supernaturally, who are you? You're a supernatural divine person. Oh, you're making yourself like God. He made himself like him. Supernatural. Divine. Well, why do you think you can walk in that kind of life? Because he made me this way.
That's right.
Right? I hope you're getting this. Jesus is Lord. I know you're getting it because I believe it. According as his divine power. What kind of power? Some kind of power that's lacking in some area. It's sonic power. It's wind power. It's tree power. Snow power. Divine power. Hallelujah. According as his divine power. What does divine power, what kind of thing does it produce? Divine fruit. It produces a divine result. You ever heard of divine healing?
Yes.
Oh. You ever heard of divine prosperity? Oh, that's good. All things that pertain to life. You got anything that pertains to life? What about, life? You wake up in the morning, what happens? Life happens. Every day. Now you got divine power. Not if you just think you're an old worm saved by grace. As Jesus came to save the old worms, have a worm collection. No, he came to make sons and daughters. What are you going to be more happy with? Friends that are all a bunch of kings and priests? Wouldn't that be more fun? Than just being having to associate with the lowest of the low in the world? No, what are you going to do? He is the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Well, somebody's got to be the lords that he's Lord of. How are you, Lord? Ryan and Sarah called her husband Lord. Hey, that's what we should call. That's not Sister Mary so-and-so. It's Lord so-and-so. King of kings. Right? Come on, I'm trying to lift your heads up here. Brother, I was happy being a sinner saved by grace. Then I could watch my soap operas. Kings don't have time for soap operas. We're too busy ruling our kingdom. Hallelujah. Glad you came. Hallelujah. According to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. What are you called to then? So he brought you into the kingdom and he calls you. He's calling you glory and virtue, glory and power. Glory. Power. Well, I always thought I should be glorious and powerful. Yes, that's your calling. Who wants to be a non-glorious and weak king? Not you. All you want is the power and the glory. That's what we're designed for. What are you called to? Glory and power, people. Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and power. He has called you. He has called you to this. This is your calling. I always felt like that. Yes. Yield to it. Lean into it. It is who you are. It's the seed that he put in you. What kind of, it's a divine seed. Did we read this divine seed? What comes from a divine seed? A divine fruit or divine plant? What kind of virtue and power are you called to? Divine virtue and power. Brother, this isn't going to fly in the traditional church. Well, we aren't in the traditional church. That's why we're in this hotel. I'm almost done. Hang on. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Are you called to glory and virtue? Virtue is another word for power. Are you called to this? Are you called to this? You. You're called to this. Come on. You're telling me that you're called to glory and power and a kingly stature as a child of God. The priest of the Most High. Yes. Well, what happened to being a worm? These don't go together, do they? Look at a kingly worm. Got a little crown on his head. No. Everybody say, I am called to glory and power. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Whereby are given, and this is my text right here. Took me that long to get to it. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, he says, whereby? Whereby what? The divine nature. All of these things from the divine are given to us, what? Exceeding great and precious. Exceeding great. He could have just said they're good, man. It'd be good. He's a hip man. You can get some of this. No, he said they're exceeding great and precious. What do kings deal with? The exceeding great and precious. Like the invaluable jewels. You ever see those? Right? Well, it's like the Hope Diamond or something. It's priceless. You think the king's worried about how much he's going to be able to pay his light bill? No. Send the peasants out to work some more. He's not in that realm anymore. He's not in the hand-to-mouth realm. He's in the ruling realm. Exceeding great and precious. It exceeds. You're going to exceed. No, really. You're going to exceed. If we're still, and this is the thing, the church is so bound in this unexcelling place. They're bound in the hand to mouth. They're bound in this realm. They're not seeing that God is calling you to glory, power, exceeding great, precious. Talk about these things in the church and people go, they choke. They choke on it. They can't get there. That's why you got to open up the scope. Expand. You got to open up to where you think, wait a minute. I can be exceeding great and precious? Yes, through the power of the divine promises. They're divine promises. None of these promises are just, you know, hobo made up stuff. Came through a mail solicitation. I signed out the card and I got a promise. No, these came by divine method into you, your divine nature. You going to offer a king a promise that's not on the same level as the king? No. All right, I'll try to get this here. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto who?
Us.
Why would he give these? Because he's given them to divine people now. You think God has the ability to give? You people here. If you're going to give somebody a divine something, you're going to give it to a divine person, it's going to be divine. It's going to be in the same category and class. What manner of man are you? Hallelujah. I wish I had time to go there, and I don't. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partaker of the divine nature. Now, we've got a whole bunch of people in the church that aren't partaking of it at all because they haven't received the great and precious promises that I've been speaking about this morning. They've received tradition. They've received the thoughts and words of men, which has held them in bondage and corruption. But you're being set free by the promises of God that you might partake. Is he going to tell you that you're going to partake of something if it can't be partaken of? So by these divine promises, you are going to partake of this divine nature. See, we know this, right? When we're born again, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. But if we have people that are born again and they don't partake of the divine nature that they were created in. Is this making sense? But now by the exceeding great and precious promises, we begin to partake of this divine nature. Hallelujah. After this, all the girls should be dressing up like princesses all the time. The tiaras. Hallelujah. We're coming up. We're coming up to a higher level. Look at this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of that divine nature that's already in you, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So by partaking of this divine nature, you're escaping the corruption. It can't affect you anymore. The corruption has no effect on you by partaking of the divine. Are we seeing this? Is a divine person subject to the things of the world? Sickness, debt, stupidity, ugliness, Corruption. Is there corruption in the world? This says we can escape it. Through what? Partaking of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Are we going to partake of the divine nature?
Yes.
We are. Can we partake of this divine nature? It's in us. And escape the corruption of the world. The first way to do it is first you get saved. First you get born again. First you receive the Lord Jesus. He gives you power to become a son of God, which is what? Divine. You become a divine person. But now through exceeding great and precious promises, you partake of that divine nature and escape are the things that we need to escape. Bad economic times. The bird flu. Whatever that is. Things that are in the world, the corruption that's in the world. We escape it. How? By divine nature. Are you starting to see why it is so important to see who you are? When there's a storm, when there's a battle, when there's waves, don't sit there and watch the others standing up, taking authority over the wind and the sea. You stand up and take authority over it because you are divine. I get slapped in a bunch of churches for saying that. You are divine. You're born of the divine. You're a child of God. All right, I'm not going to go over all this again. I believed you received it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that your glory is imparted into people, and we partake of the supernatural divine nature of God. We ask for windows to be opened unto us that we may see and walk in this glory, this power that we're called to, this divine nature, and be full partakers of everything you've got for us, everything you've planned. We promise to seek you and walk in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah.